News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
Good evening, and we are on the air. Edwin Lee Raymer at 8 o'clock here on a Sunday night. And I've got a great guest with us tonight. He is running... Let's see, this is the 34th district, I believe, for your congressional seat here in the great state of Tennessee, Tucker Markham. Tucker, how are you?
Man, thanks for having me. Good to be with you. Thanks. State representative, state house seat.
State house seat.
The 34th district, downtown Murfreesboro, Casey Lane, St. Andrews, basically everything west of 231, south of 99, all of Christiana.
You know, I've got you here because I wanted to have you on, but I can't vote for you. I wouldn't vote. I couldn't vote for you if I wanted to.
It ain't too late. You know? It ain't too late to close on a house.
No, I've got... Wife and I have a couple. That's all right. Thank you.
Got to try.
And we're going to talk about his campaign. First time you've ever put your name on a ballot.
Yes, sir.
I admire that in people that do it. I never have and probably never will. We're going to talk about a lot of things. He's going to tell you you're into energy. Alternative energy.
Well, I work in energy development, so all kinds. But I've worked on a lot of projects and kind of contract out with different energy companies to work on the project approval and permitting process on various projects, on some natural gas projects and some other types, and just really enjoy it. Work with really, really smart folks who are light years smarter than me, but provide some good value on getting these projects over the finish line. So enjoy it and kind of allowed me the freedom to take a look at public service.
Well, you're only as good as the people you work with. So if your competition's pretty tough, that means you eventually will be as well. Anyway, we're glad to have Tucker here. Jackson's on the board. And I'll tell you what, let's get this thing kicked off, Jackson, if we could. But for right now, my name is Edwin Lee Raymer, and yes, I am still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS.
And that's a little rock and roll to kick you off on a Sunday night at 8 o'clock, and this is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. I'm your host, Ed Raymer. Now, this show is produced at studios of WGNS AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, you can reach us tonight, reach Tucker with your questions, your comments, or your thoughts at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. You can also text us shoot us a text at that number, and our producer, Jackson, will get it, and he'll be glad to read it for you. Hand it to me or Tucker. We'll read it for you. For those of you who do not wish to be maybe a little bit shyer than what we are and don't want to be heard live on the air, and we certainly understand that. Now, watching us, getting us, obviously, when I got here 11 years ago, the radio was how it was done. Things have changed a little bit or a whole lot since then. You can reach us at 1450 AM on your radio dial. Or, again, we simulcast on three frequencies, 100.5 or 101.9 FM, right here from WGNS. Okay, that's FM. Now, you can also, and we are on the air right now, the Ed Raymer Show is YouTube. We're on YouTube Live. We're on Facebook Live. Just punch in Edwin Lee Raymer at YouTube and it'll take you right to us, or News Radio WGNS. That's News Radio WGNS. And I'll tell you what you can do. You can also download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go to listen whenever you wish. And check out our local programming in addition to us. Check out Mike Sparks is on at like 5 on Sunday, I believe. Angela Bingham is on right after him. Angela's here at 6. Jason Qualls through the week, financial advice. Everybody doing a great job. And Angela, I got to see her tonight right after her broadcast. It's her birthday. She's 29 again, everybody. So, and me and her both. So, anyway, she's got a nice carrot cake for her birthday. One of the girls baked for her. And I didn't get a piece of it because they didn't have a knife to cut it. So
I can't believe that.
I'm telling you, right? That's rude, isn't it? I'll tell you, that's the way them Democrats are.
I'll come down on my birthday and give you plenty.
Okay. And Tucker, you're here, and let me ask you, Tucker. As far as politics go, I mean, it can be it's the first time you've run for anything. Let me ask you, if I could, Tucker, why do you hate puppies?
I'm sure they'll be seeing some stuff that says that's the case and some other worse stuff. But
I do that occasionally. I guess they warned you. No, he doesn't hate puppies, everyone. He does not. No. And so, anyway.
Love babies, too. Let's make that clear.
Babies,
make
too. That clear. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Okay. Why are you doing this? Tell folks what you do and how you got here. Yeah. Just what's your story?
Well, I never wanted to run for political office, but at least anytime soon, but saw a real need in this district and in this race. You know, I'm born and raised in Rutherford County, grew up in the Rockvale area. Actually, with this district, it's pretty neat. So I was brought home as a baby to Spike Trail, which is in the district over there by the Ag Center. Grew up in Rockvale, lived in Evergreen Farms, downtown Murfreesboro. But attended Eagleville for a time, Rockvale for a time, and Central
Great
Magnet
area.
School for a
Pettis,
time.
Pettis Reed area. Uh-huh,
love me some Pettis.
Pettis is a wonderful fellow.
And he works hard. I think that's what's missing in politics right now. You got a lot of these politicians who, I say, at the door a little fat and happy, right? Who don't know they have to earn it.
He drives the communities. He wants mm-hmm. not just his area either. Mm-hmm. He drives because he is our one of the county commissioners, one of 21.
Correct.
21 of them. And he's out and about.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't
just show up for the council meetings.
Correct. And answers her phone. And we got a really good set of county commissioners now. Really proud to be endorsed by a number of them. 15 total elected officials endorsements, and I think probably 9, 10, 11 commissioners there. And that's a weight. I think that's been a big sign of the viability of this race and the need in this race to really have some legislators that can work well. Right. With our not only county commissioners, but I've been out to Eagleville City Council meetings and Murfreesboro Council meetings and developing real good relationships with those folks. I think some of the biggest issues we're facing right now that the state could assist on and should be assisting on are really tied to local issues. Really are, and you need a state representative that doesn't like to play into this personality, ego, political nonsense style of, of politicking and legislating, and really focus on those issues that really matter, that are affecting folks, pocketbooks every single day, and affecting folks' children's going to their school, and all those type of issues, and we're really missing that. We're really missing that, I think, in a lot of areas in politics in general, and I think definitely in this legislative seat. And just working hard at it. I mean, I told someone last week, you'll get a kick out of this, at a door. I said, I'm the only candidate in this race that doesn't think WORK is a radio station.
Right.
You got to go to work every single day, not just during a campaign, but especially when folks are paying you to be working for them as their legislator.
And here's the thing I do know, because I'll say this now. You're doing it pretty well the old-fashioned way. You're shaking hands. You've got signs. A lot of these people think, you can just go on Facebook and put a thing or put a notice or two and put a couple of yard signs.
That's Wish it was that easy.
It's not that easy. President Kennedy, as I told you the other day when we first talked, if a man ever shakes your hand, you probably have his vote. Mm-hmm. And you've been shaking a whole lot of hands.
I've been trying to. I mean, I'm out working every single day. And like I said, I think we've knocked a little over 6,500 houses already and been through the district almost two times and going on 2.5 at this point. And just showing up, folks, I say this at the doors all the time. You are the ones paying your elected officials to be working for them. Granted, it's still public service. You ain't getting rich. But the only way, and I mean the only way that you know what folks want you to prioritize and focus on is by showing up and being present. And it can't just be an election year thing. It can't. And too many politicians, and especially elected officials that we have there now have develop that mindset and aren't present, don't show up, don't return phone calls, don't return emails. And even if folks disagree, you got to take it. You work for them.
They really don't. Mm-hmm. Our phone is ringing. Caller, please keep calling. We'll get it. We're running a little behind here tonight. You know, but you are doing this the old-fashioned way, and that's unheard of. We have a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead, please.
Mr. Rainbow, how you doing?
Well, hello. Is this Jeff?
Yeah, yes, Jeff. How you doing?
Doing good.
I just want to tell you, I hope you had a chance to get in front of her, talk to Mr. Rudd. I know I told you before, Edward Lee knows this too. He was on the radio a few years ago, and he said several times, he said, as long as he's in the legislature, he would never, never, never raise taxes. Never, never, never raise taxes on the people. He would never do it as long as he's in the legislature. He'll lower them, but he'll never raise them. Is what he
would lower them, but never raise them. Okay.
He would. I'll never, never, as long as I'm in the legislature, never, never, never raise taxes on people in Tennessee. I'll never do it. I'll never, never do it. So, I don't know. I know we have a rainy day fund that they'll probably never use. It's about $4 trillion or however much we got in there. It's so much money that I know if we expanded Medicare, our state would be broke. That's what Don White said one time, that we wouldn't have no money left, which is untrue. But I just wanted to ask you what you think some of the major issues in the state are. I know you've been talking to a lot of different people. It's just, I think I live in your district. I'm not too far from St. Andrews and that kind of area. So I will be voting for you come August, November, whenever the election is. I'll definitely be casting my vote for you, too. I hope you can defeat Mr. Rudd. But it's just some of the other – I just wanted to – just what you think some of the main issues are when you do go to Nashville. And I know guns and some of the other stuff is, but I just
sure.
want to ask you what they are. And I'll hang up and listen. And good luck with your campaign, and I'll definitely be following you. I've seen some of your signs around, too. So good luck with everything. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And Jeff Neal, thank you very much, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff, and give me a shout if I can ever do anything for you. I've been to all these doors, and the number one issue is clear. It's this conversation around how we're going to pay for this growth that's coming into Rutherford County.
Sure.
You wouldn't think it's a state issue, and quite honestly, I don't think it should be a state issue. But the way it's set up right now, we have unfunded mandate after unfunded mandate after unfunded mandate that's coming down from Nashville to the locals.
Right.
Yet they do not have the flexibility to look at revenue outside of property taxes. And I've talked to thousands of people at their door who can't afford, don't want another property tax increase. All this
16% a year or two ago was the largest the county's ever had.
Yeah.
The single largest.
Correct. And I think folks understand this. You know, local government's not state government. Local government's not the federal government. Is there waste? It's government. I'm sure there's something in there. But they are providing the most essential services that folks come to expect.
And you're at a disadvantage at state or local governments because you do not have an advantage the federal government has, and that's the ability to print money.
yeah, exactly. I'm open to the Fed of Rutherford County. You know, but
I'm telling you. Yeah, I'd be glad to chair that. Now, I'd be interested in getting down on that. But, I mean, you don't.
Yeah.
You have to use what's supposed. How do you feel about the Medicare, Medicaid, the expansion on that? The governor's refused to let those funds go. We have people that are hurting, mm-hmm. no doubt. What's your feeling on that? Let's get this out of the way because I know we're going to talk about this impact fee thing, and I'd like to get that out of the way first. Your feelings on that?
Well, I think there has to be a lot of approaches to how we're talking about the affordability crisis when it comes to healthcare. I think first and foremost is really prioritizing economic development and providing folks with opportunities to advance to those positions and opportunities that provide better benefits and better opportunities, while also sitting there and recognizing that there's always going to be those folks that work at the Dollar General, that work at the gas station, that need that help. And I think there's an area there to compromise on it. The problem with politics today is you have one side way over here, one side way on the other side, and they've lost that. Politics is the art of the possible. What can we accomplish? What can we get done? And that hasn't been the case, and I think in all levels of government and politics, but especially up in the legislature. And I think a lot of what's missing is you have too many, you have too many personalities and egos in the room, and there's not an interest in first and foremost building a relationship even outside of it. You know, Ed, we could sit here and talk about political issues for 3 hours, and I'm sure there's going to be something we disagree on.
Sure.
But if you first and foremost have that relationship that you know is filled with some respect and some integrity, when those disagreements pop up, it's not catastrophic to that relationship. And you got folks in the legislature now who don't see it that way. And that's what's preventing a lot of things getting done.
The one
on a
thing
lot of
that
issues.
Bothers me more than anything else, and we'll get to this, and I want to get past it so we can move on to this, because you know we're going to talk about this impact fee thing.
Yes, sir.
That's directly affecting our county and many of our local areas around here. Gun regulation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a private investigator, as you may or may not know. I don't know. And I have been for over 25 years now. It looks like to me, I walked in a gun shop one day. It was around, it was way before Christmas, and I went there early intentionally to buy my Snowy Bonus a Target pistol. It was 22. And I fully expected a background check. Oh, no, so you can walk out of here with it here in just a minute. That sort of shocked me, because that fellow at that pawn shop didn't know me from Adam. And this is a brand new weapon. It's perfectly legal for him to sell it. There's no problem with that. And I'd bought several things from this fellow. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm pro-Second Amendment, and I think the folks in Christiana, Rockvale, Midland, Rockvale, and Eagleville are pro-Second Amendment as well, so I'm going to take those values to the legislature. I think there's a lot of approaches that can be had when we're talking about gun violence and what's happening in the state.
I don't believe we should be selling a gun to a fellow that just walked out of a mental institution.
Correct.
Do you feel he should have some type of background check done on him?
Well, I think there's a lot of that that's already in place. I mean, I think there's a lot of folks that...
No, there isn't.
For folks walking out of a mental institution?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know. He can go directly to a gun shop and purchase a gun.
I don't believe that's correct, but I stand to be corrected on that.
I will too.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But, you know, but I mean, if that is the case, wouldn't you be in favor of some type of check on a person that, I mean, has had a history of mental illness or a history of violence, whatever? We have that.
There are systems set up in place for that. I think the approach and solution to a lot of these issues and talking about it is looking at the root cause and making sure we're investing in mental health options and treatment. I mean, there's folks in the state and some of these rural counties where there's no options at all. And I think that can go a long way. There hasn't been that approach from a state level when looking at funding. And I think that needs to be a conversation.
Okay. Now, the Medicare and Medicaid expansion, I forget how many billions they're setting on in there. That money is already there. This is for the people of the state of Tennessee. How do you feel about that?
I already answered that, Ed. I think we got when we're talking about healthcare, there's that approach of making sure that we have folks that have the ability to move themselves up and put themselves in a better position to access private health insurance, right? I think that's first and foremost. But then you also have to look at the conversation around options that are available for, once again, those folks working at the Dollar General, working at
those
the gas station.
Those that are unfortunate. What do we do about that?
Yeah, I think there's two-prong approach. You're looking at one.
Should the money be released? Should the funds
be released? Well, it's not that. So here's the financial side of it. It's not free money. I'm the first one
but
to say
it's already there.
Well, I'm the first one to sit there and say, hey,
and
we need to
that.
Be getting as much money as humanly possible back from DC. If you're in the legislature, we need to be sitting there getting as much money back as possible.
Sure.
From Nashville into Rutherford County. And I understand that, but it's not free. It's a dollar. It's a match. It's not fully fully funded and sitting there. There's a match associated with it, and I think you got to sit there and look and determine what the financial feasibility. I understand that it's been you know, we're one, I think, of only 10 states that hasn't. So that's a conversation that needs to be looked at. You got some of the most red states in the country that have. So it has to be studied. I mean, I think the problem is, like I answered you the first time, is you got folks on one side of the fringe and on the other side of the fringe, and there's not a what is possible here when talking about healthcare solutions. That's the problem.
Oh, I buy that.
Yeah, that's the problem on it. Yes, sir.
We're going to go to our first series of breaks. Tucker Markham's with us. He's running for the congressional seat in the 34th congressional district here in the great state of Tennessee, and he's doing it the old-fashioned way. He's getting out, putting out signs, and shaking hands. Jackson's on the board. I'm Ed Rain. We're back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hey, this is Ed, everybody. I want to tell you about a sponsor of ours. We've got Complete Yard Care. Their slogan is, we do it all. Low-maintenance landscape design, retaining walls, tree removal, stump grinding, lawns cut mulching, landscaping. Now, you can reach them at 615-785-0384. Or you can look them up on the web at CompleteYardCareTN.com. They have a 5-star ranking on Google. That's Complete Yard Care. We do it all.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Mafia Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Mafia Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And we're back. All right. Thank you, Jackson. Appreciate it. Thanks to all of our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you to all of you that are listening via Facebook, via YouTube. I get your information in here. Now, Tucker Markham is our guest tonight. Appreciate him coming up now. We've got to talk about this. And, Tucker, this is a topic. And I'm not even going to say it's a hot topic. It's something that's got to be talked about, the impact fee thing. Some of the cities have it here in Rutherford County. The county does not. The city does.
Every municipality has the ability.
Okay. But the county does not.
Correct.
And where Williamson and I think Wilson, they do.
And there's a couple other ones out there.
Williamson does, I know.
Williamson and Wilson.
What do you think? What's your thinking?
Local issue. I mean, the state sends down unfunded mandate after unfunded mandate, yet doesn't have the flexibility and freedom to where they're going to get that revenue to make up that unfunded mandate.
Right.
Where they're going to make up that missing conversation around capital projects for education. And I don't think it should be a state level issue. I think there's instance after instance where you don't want folks telling the state government what to do. This is an example of the state government telling the local government what to do.
Right.
And my perspective on it is, hey, the folks in Rutherford County want it. The folks in Rutherford County want the county to have the ability to charge a growth or development fee, and that decision should be made locally. And it has been. They elected a county commission that says, hey, we don't want y'all.
But they're not allowed to implement it.
Correct. They have to go through the legislature. And one of the large reasons why I ran is Tim has blocked that the last two legislative sessions.
Okay.
You got a lot of powerful lobbyists and special interest and silk suit wearing guys in Nashville that are opposing it.
Gotcha.
And we haven't been able to, when you got members of your own legislative delegation working against it and fighting against those efforts, I've been told by a legislator here that I consider a friend and mentor that it, at times it's a heck of a lot easier to press no. And when you have a but I mean, like, my
heck
no,
of a lot
I'm,
easier to press no.
I'm going
to
press no more times than probably any representative that we've had.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of craziness happening and bad policy and policy that's not thought out. But that's an instance where, hey, here's this bill that is one of the proposals that, that affects Rutherford County, that gives Rutherford County this ability. And my understanding how it's always worked is, you know, hey, when your folks need something or asking for stuff, I have you. And when my folks in Blount County need something that only affects my folks in Blount County, I have you. And we got something has to give. We're approaching crisis level. I think we're already in crisis level with how we're going to pay for $800 million worth of capital projects needed for schools. And that's before you even factor in the infrastructure needs, before you even factor in the fire, EMS,
another
sheriff's deputies.
Another new school system to be put up. Another new high school
correct,
to be built.
Correct. Correct.
You're talking about elementary school, middle school, and a high school, and all the football fields and baseball fields, all the amenities that go with that. And you're looking at $100 million.
A high school now, and don't quote me on this, but I remember watching a school board meeting. I want to say a high school is $130 to $140 million now.
Really?
Yeah. And I think in Rockvale was the most recent one open, and
about
it was a lot
86,
less.
86, 84, 85. Pettis knows. Cause that was
Paul
really
Pettis would know off the top. But,
he'll know right off the top. It's just around $85 million, more or less. But it's just gone up exponentially. I mean, and it's not going to get any cheaper. And then, of course, the land.
Mm-hmm.
And you need, what do you need for a school complex? Roughly 80 to 100 acres?
Ooh, I couldn't informatively answer that for you.
I
know there's
I
different sizes.
Someone told me, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And I want to say this, too. I told this at a Farm Bureau meeting a couple months ago.
Right.
I'm born and raised in Rutherford County. I'm far from a farmer. But you know how ignorant I'd have to be to sit here and pretend like I know these agricultural issues better than the folks who live and breathe it every single day. And I think on a lot of these issues, you got to be able to be humble enough to sit there and say, hey, let's call and the folks in our district who live and breathe these issues every single day on what the right policy approach is. And that's definitely missing. That's definitely missing on it. So, but no, we're approaching crisis level on education, on the capital project side of education, especially, you know, like you said, in need of a high school on the north side, another elementary school, a middle school. And there's a lot of good conversations happening about some ways to efficiently do these projects. The school system had an idea that they executed when it came to the Beatty Property Elementary School, where they were able to do that within their fund, most of it within their fund balance. So they've gotten creative, but you have, I think the latest I've heard, you have on the low end, 1,200 new students added to Rutherford County school system every single year.
Yeah, it's not stopping. Now, during the pandemic, maybe those numbers, they were jilted back and forth a little bit, but we're right back where we were. Everybody's coming here.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. And we got a great Rutherford County Schools is fantastic. I mean, we have a lot of really good choices within Rutherford County Schools as well. We got great magnet schools. We got Holloway High School. You know, we have open enrollment.
How do you feel
school.
About public money being put into private schools?
Yeah, the bill last year is going to be a heck of a lot different than the bill next year. I fully support public education, fully. I, once again, I'm incredibly pro-school choice. I'm a product of school choice times two. But I think Rutherford County has great school choice options.
Many people have come here because of the public school system.
Exactly. And we have great.
I don't know why we should tinker with that.
Yeah. Well, I think we need some help on keeping it that way and farthering it when it comes to funding. I think the problem is when you look at and TISA overall produce additional revenue for Rutherford County schools. But that's an example, I think, of policy that wasn't completely thought out, and there's some unintended consequences that we've seen, especially on the, it didn't fix the biggest issue I see where we're funded, the county is funded for the previous year's enrollment. So, you know, that's local taxpayers fronting a lot of that money initially. So,
and, you know, that's not thinking things through. Like we were talking last week, Sean Wright was up here. He's running for city council.
Sean's a good friend.
Yeah, and the county landfill is a perfect example. They just didn't know 30 years ago what was to come.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't know. When I moved here in 1980, they announced a few months later, right after my mom and dad bought their house for $46,000 or $47,000, I think, in Smyrna. Nice house, four bedroom. And then they announced, here comes Nissan. Now, this is way before your time. and son, we have been on a rocket ride to the moon ever since it. Now, we've hit some bumps and humps along the way, but it's not stopping. And it's still, and then you had later the addition of Saturn over in Maury County, Columbia, and all that. I mean, and now even east, now Memphis, Tennessee, West Tennessee, they're starting to get in on the act with the Ford expansion down there, which is
changing
massive.
That community. Changing
it
community.
Will change it. Yeah. I mean, it will do for them exactly. And because I know it's not at Memphis, it's somewhere in between. I don't know. I
think Fayette County, but
Fayette
don't quote
County,
me on that.
Fayette County, I won't. Don't yeah, and I agree. I don't know either, but they're in for some changes that, you know.
Well, and that's what we need here locally as well. I see. I don't understand why there can't be some of these legislators and using this position and really assisting any way you can with economic development. I mean, building good relationships with the Economic Development Commission up there and the director there and coordinating relationships. I mean, I talked to some folks out in Eagleville and asked, hey, have you ever heard from the state economic community development folks? And they said no. And I think that's an area where a large part of, I see a large part of this job as being a connector when state government is moving slow or is broken.
Right.
No matter what issue it comes to, if you're talking about a TDOT issue, a TDEC issue, you know, in that instance, looking at, you know, the economic development folks, you really got to prioritize. And I think this is missing, especially in this seat. Really have to prioritize going in there and trying to build good relationships with these folks who in Nashville make government move in on the state level and have those relationships when things come up. And your folks who, once again, are paying you to be up there working for them might be able to assist when they have those encounters with a slow moving part of government.
Also, PPP relationship, public-private relationships with business that does this. And the one I hear more than anything, as the host of this here, is, you know, we're going to have to stop these massive tax incentives to these big corporations that are moving here. Just because they're here, we're glad to have them, and we need them, and we want them. But, you know, when you abate taxes for 10 or 15 years, it's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. And some of them that even will end up working at that establishment still don't.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they can't come right out and say it. But, you know, but I know it's easier said than done. Because it seems like everywhere. But I think the pendulum is always swinging. I think we're seeing nationwide a little more that, hey, we can't afford it anymore, you know. And a lot of cities have gone to that, massive, bigger cities, saying, sorry, we just can't afford it. You have people in Nashville that are selling their home because they can't afford to pay their property tax.
Well, you have folks who I've grown up with who are born and raised here and can't afford to stay here, and they're moving to Manchester and Tullahoma.
Oh, Manchester, wonderful area down there.
In Shelbyville. Yeah. And that's a shame. I mean, it really is. And at that point, I'm a big free market guy, and I really think that's picking winners and losers. That's picking winners and losers. And there's where's the conversation when a small business in Rutherford County owned by Rutherford County folks are trying to expand? That's missing as a part of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And expensive as well.
No doubt.
It's the same. Yeah. I mean, right now, I was talking to the wife last night. Of course, a lot of things since this pandemic have finally got back to normal. Okay. You couldn't run fast enough to give me a restaurant right now.
Say that again.
You couldn't run fast enough to give me a restaurant right now. You could give it to me and I'll turn around and sell it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's one business I just would not, you know, because our children both worked in it and when they were younger. No way, man.
Oh, I believe it. My campaign treasurer is Bill Tollett out in Eagleville. He is the vice mayor out there and then was the principal out there for a long time.
Right.
He opened Coach T's All-American Grill right there on 99. And then recently just sold it probably about 2 or 3 months ago.
Right.
And, you know, he opened it up right in the height of COVID and all of that and went through a lot of those challenges. But that was great for the community. Great for the community out there.
Oh, Eagle's a great area. You went to school there for a while?
I went there for a couple of years. My mom was the bookkeeper out there as well for a number of years. And then actually when Blackman Elementary opened, was the bookkeeper out there as well. at Blackman Elementary.
So. Blackman Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah, Coach Tyler's a great guy. My campaign treasurer and just been a big help with this process and the folks out in Eagleville. Really want to focus on these areas. I feel like there's a lot of times where you have a legislator who doesn't know where Midland is, doesn't know where the Rockville Community Center is,
and
show up. I mean,
you,
I knocked on a door out in Midland Fosterville Road, and they said they've lived there for 23 years and have never had a candidate come to their door asking for their vote. And what issues they care about. And I think that's, you got to care. You got to care about those folks. You got to show up. And it can't just be an election year thing.
I know.
It can't.
Yeah.
You got to be present consistently.
What's wrong with going out in the middle of, you know, a non-election year and saying, hey, you know, just go canvass the community and say, you know, I'm your representative, I'm your county commissioner, whoever. And, you know, the elected representative, I know it's a state job, okay? It's a state office. But really, you are really, truly accountable to local people. Well, you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be to your local constituents to some degree.
No, you're right. And I think, and I was at the steering committee meeting of the Rutherford County Commission, and I guess it was probably January of this year. And you had Tim Rudd, the legislator I'm running against in this race, sit there and tell the legislators, hey, if you have a bill, or the commissioners, hey, if you have a bill idea, if you have something you want to talk about, come see me in my office. Office in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So you want the county commissioner from Christiana to drive an hour and a half through rush hour to get to Nashville, pay $30 to park, walk over to the office, come back to their car, drive another hour and a half back through rush hour to meet with their elected representative. As you know, then they're not even they're obviously a private individual, but also representing, in that case, I think commission districts are about 17,000-20,000 people. And that's the case. You know, if you need me, hey, when do you want? You want to go out to Elrod's in Rockvale? We'll grab coffee. And I think that's what's missing as well. We don't have there's been some elected officials in the past where, hey, you knew where they're at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning, right? You knew where they at if you need to go talk
Pettis
to them.
Reed will be out driving around. I know Pat. He lives it, you know. I think between 7:30 in the morning, Rob Mitchell's in his office. He's our county property assessor. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys, they are actually working. I mean, it's not
you have to,
and they're certainly not there for the money, you know. I mean, it's you're not running for this to get rich.
And you have to feel that weight. I really think you have to feel that weight. Folks are paying you to be working for them.
Sure.
And I don't believe it doesn't take too much more effort to do the job well versus do the job poorly. It's barely a step up in level of effort. And a lot of folks just don't do it. They just don't do it. And it's unfair to those folks. It's unfair to those folks who are more of the
legislative. I will tell you this. I'm going to get Jackson in here. We'll go to our last series of breaks here. I've had people ask, and every week, you know, who you having on Sunday? Who you having on Sunday? I said, well, I'm having a young man, Tucker Markham. He's running, you know, and what's brought all this on? You know, because you're with one party and I'm with another. And I said, because I want to do what one of our great in recent times, he's no longer with us, the late great state senator Howard Baker, federal senator Howard Baker said, you know, you might want to listen to the other guy every once in a while, because he might actually be right. And I've always kept that with me. Senator Baker was a great statesman for the great state of Tennessee. He really was. So that's what this young man is doing here tonight. And he will be welcome back anytime he wants to come up and share something and give me $14 to go on the air. Thank you. Jackson and I need all we can get.
We'll take you over here to Party Foul and buy you some dinner. How about that?
You got that. Hey, that's good food down there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to our last series of breaks. Tucker Markham is with us. Glad he's here. He's running for Congress in the 34th District down there, and we're going to talk about what areas that encompasses when we come back. Jackson's on the board of Midrand. We're back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations of Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow
give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Hey, this is Ed, everybody. I want to tell you about a sponsor of ours. We've got Complete Yard Care. Their slogan is, we do it all. Low maintenance landscape design, retaining walls, tree removal, stump grinding, lawns cut, mulching, landscaping. Now you can reach them at 615-785-0384. Or you can look them up on the web at CompleteYardCareTN.com. They have a 5-star ranking on Google. That's Complete Yard Care. We do it all.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
In live radio, you're going to make mistakes. That'll happen. Okay. Tucker was worried. Was that mic on?
He didn't say anything bad.
The worst.
Nor did I.
It was the worst. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Your mama spanked your bottom. Telling dirty jokes. He didn't do that. You wanted to say something over us being on maybe different, people being on different, like Senator Baker was talking about, you know, I want to listen to the guy once in a while, he might be right.
Which I love that quote, by the way.
Yeah.
But you got to, once again, I've said this before, but folks are paying you to be working for them. Whether they disagree with you on issues, or if an issue hasn't happened yet, I want to hear these folks' opinions and where they stand on the issues. And even when that time comes where you take a vote that doesn't make 100% of people happy. You know, there's probably a little more votes that don't make 100% of people happy than do.
There's somebody mad on, you know, probably all the time.
I think
that happens.
You got to take it. You got to answer your phone. You got to return your email. I can't tell you how many doors I've been to where they say I've reached out to my representative via email 3 times, called him twice, and haven't gotten a response.
I wanted to tell you, you mentioned that a while ago. We've lived, as I told you, we built our house out to 231 South. We're out County Farm Road area, as everyone knows. And been there for 27 years now, I think, something like that. One time, if someone knocked on the door and said, I'd like your vote. I think one time. I mean, that's a lot of complacency. And my wife and I are active. Well, I am more so being here. My wife vote. We've voted in every election we could since we were 18.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we figure that's our job. And sometimes we've both split the ticket, man, you know. But I finally got her. She finally cuddled up to me after 35 years. And
congratulations. Good work. Long game.
No. But, you know, I mean, but that's not good when you got people that aren't, I mean, and I know the districts have been cut up, the gerrymandering and all that, and the Republicans have done that, but the Democrats did the same thing. I mean, when Democrats were in there, they've all done it, you know. Now, you're running all the way from downtown all the way to west of...
Great. I'll run through it again. Yeah, great district. Downtown Murfreesboro gets a little of that behind the Discovery School over along Middle Tennessee Boulevard. And then basically everything west of 231, south of 99. South of downtown Murfreesboro, west of 231, south of 99.
How many people does that encompass? Do you know roughly?
It's about 75,000.
That's a bunch of folks.
Yeah.
How many of them are voters?
Not 75,000. Unfortunately, yeah. It should be.
We're looking at the numbers. As you probably know, WGNS goes up to the polls on election night, and it's we just sit there and shake our head. You know, 8% turnout, 10%, 11. Hey, we reached 13. That's something else. You know, it's ridiculous.
But that's what allows these folks to be complacent, though. In my eyes, obviously, in this race, there's not necessarily enough time or resources to attempt to get folks who traditionally don't vote or who aren't registered vote to go out. But that has to be a place and something you work on as an elected representative of a certain area to try to improve engagement. Sure. And I think a part of it that encourages folks to engage is when they have elected officials that they know they can reach, that are accessible,
sure,
that are present.
That are accessible.
That are present.
Right.
And at least in this district, that's not the case right now.
Right. And, like you say, it is, I won't say it's a 24-hour day job, but it takes, when you really apply yourself, it don't hurt to go to a few functions. Go to a country ham breakfast. Go to a chili supper. Go to in your area, or you might want to go other areas. I don't know, Pettis can tell you. He's at all those free meal things.
we make Pettis pay triple. That storm last month.
That's good.
That storm last month. You'll get a kick out of this. When that storm came through last month, I was out at the Rockville Community Center helping clear some trees. They luckily were pretty blessed and didn't have any major damage, just some fence torn up, but a lot of those trees fell down. So it's going to be a hot July 4th at the picnic out there. I reached out to Kevin Elrod, who owns Elrod's out there, and said, hey, I want to take care of any Middle Tennessee Electric, Highway Department, law enforcement folks who are out working today, to clear these roads and make things right. And some folks came by, and then Pettis texted me saying he just went by and grabbed lunch. And I said, well, dang, I thought I told Kevin that we need to charge you triple. And these other guys ate for free, but we're charging you triple. But Kevin missed out on that memo.
Hey, I'm telling you, Pettis sat right where you are one night and talked about his family. He's got a huge family. I said, that's a lot. I said, that's a lot of kids, a lot of family, great family. He said, and it sure comes handy. It comes in handy around election time.
I have some of his kids in my district and have been meeting with them. But we're really blessed with a lot of good, and especially after these past elections, there's a lot of good folks who are doing it for the right reasons, serving, I think, in all areas of local government, state, or local and or municipality and county. But a lot of folks who are wanting to do it the right way. One of my best friends, and I think one of the best elected officials we have, is Jonathan Beverly, who represents District 6, which covers a lot of Christiana, most of Christiana, actually. Right. And he's held numerous town halls, where, hey, if you're mad about something, if you want to share a thought, a view, an opinion, right, a solution to these issues we're facing, come on out. And he holds that with Michael Shirley, and who's the road board member out that way, and Caleb Tidwell, who's the school board member out that way. And folks love it and are blown away that they have that opportunity. But we have a lot of good folks who are serving in these local offices. It's you have to have a calling for it. You have to want to do it. Because as you know, especially on the local level, they ain't getting rich. They ain't getting rich at all.
No. It's not, thank goodness that's not what it was designed to be,
Correct.
And now how do people, we've got about 11, 12 minutes here. How do people get hold of you? What's going on? Where are you headed next? Because I know you've got events coming up. August 1st is the primary date for you.
Yes, sir. 53 days. I'm not counting.
53, yeah. Okay.
August 1st, Republican primary. Early voting starts July 12th. Go to TuckerMarkham.com. Has a lot of good information on some issues and some bio. But cell phone number 615-663-6836. Tell that to everybody. It's on all my literature. Going to work for you, and you got to have the ability to be accessible and folks get a hold of you.
Simply TuckerMarkham.com.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And I'll respond. And I had someone message me on Facebook last week saying, ask me about an issue, and typed up a response and said, could you elaborate on that one? What's your address? I'm out knocking doors. I'll come by and swing by. And Pettis Reed actually taught me that. You go see folks.
Sure.
And had a great conversation. And that's Promise. Promise. That's the only problem. You can't make many promises in a campaign. A lot of folks try. I think the few ones are to serve with integrity. Represent the district well with integrity and respect for others. But more than that, be present. Be accessible. That's a promise that you can make that so many.
Well, but if you call Pettis, you got to be careful because the only times he'll really get there will be either lunchtime or supper time.
I feel bad. We're beating up on Pettis too much, and I have a good thing I want to say, but I'm not going to say it because we're beating up on him too much.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't. Pettis is a great man. I was out knocking in those rural.
He's a great guy.
I was out knocking in those rural areas, and I enjoyed it. I reconnected with a lot of old friends and families
right.
that I knew.
Yeah,
and
a lot of people you
exactly.
Yeah, may come to school with mm-hmm. young as you are. It's great.
And loved it. But you get back into the city and you know it's a little more folks are fantastic, want to talk about the issues, but you get a lot more of those thank you byes. The folks out in the rural areas love to have the conversations, and I told Pettis I see exactly why you're their county commissioner.
Sure.
He enjoys that,
but he's the home guy. He's born right. He Rockvale school. I'm telling you, I went out there, and I've told the story before, I'll tell it again, but about a month or so before they were going to open, the guys were finishing up out there. They were moving all the equipment out, all that good stuff. And I said, man, this thing is a monster. It is huge, you know. And I think, I got to tell you, we ain't seen nothing yet. I think the next one will be even bigger, the next high school. They're just massive and they're beautiful. I mean, they really are.
When you're going to have to start going up, even more so than Rockville.
I'm afraid you're right.
Especially up on the north side of town. They're struggling to find land up there.
I
know. When you do, it's probably going to have to go up. And that's a new challenge that they're facing. And once it adds a little additional cost because they save a lot of money by reusing a lot of these plans. And as land gets more sparse and you don't have the cream of the crop pick, you're going to have to get a little creative on the type of school you build.
Right. And, you know, the elevators are going to have to be used, you know, or the old stairway, which they're all kids. They can handle that, you know. But, you know, it's just expensive. And you can't say it nicely. They're expensive, and it's going to get more expensive as we go.
And here's what frustrates, and I think the state of Tennessee is in pretty dang good shape. A lot of good wins, a lot of good policy. But you have folks that love to run around bragging about budget surplus here, budget surplus there.
Right.
Brag about tax cut here, tax cut there. Fantastic. Great. I think we've done well. The problem is, and it's not just in Rutherford. I think Rutherford's unique. But every other growth county and even the impoverished counties that aren't performing as well as some of these growth counties in a county like Rutherford are bursting at the seams and struggling to figure out how they're going to provide. These services that they provide are constitutionally and statutorily mandated.
Yes.
That nobody woke up one morning and said,
a lot of people don't realize that.
Said, I want to do this on county level, on the county level, and make y'all pay for it via property tax. They're constitutionally or statutory mandated, and that gets left out a lot.
And Rob Mitchell would be the first to tell you, you know, I mean,
Rob's a wealth of information.
Yes, he is. And, you know, it's not up to him. It's not. I mean, he's charged with doing certain jobs that he and his staff have to do, you know.
Yeah, and sometimes, and, yeah, a little, I'm sure he always loves the time when the new letters go out with the reappraisal with his name on top.
Well,
I don't wish that on nobody. I don't wish that on nobody.
That's when he tells me he's got a brown bag at a lot in the first couple of months until the pain wears off. And last time, every time I say, I got my love letter, Rob, thanks. But, you know, I've always said this, and I meant it, and we had a big increase, there's no doubt about it. But if I have to pay another $150, $200 a year, that's a year. I mean, Tucker, I mean, I know you know, my wife and I have been married 43 years now. You can spend that on a nice meal.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody complained about it. And I understand that, you know, but if I have to pay $150, $200 extra a year so we can have good schools, good roads, good services, infrastructure, which we have to have, and it's just not sexy, hey, that's the way it is. You know, when we built our house, there, at that time, 28 years ago, I don't even know, there was, I think it was $2,000. I think we were talking earlier before we came in. That's it. You know, I got to pay. You know, I'm not building my house. You're going to charge me an extra $2,000. I paid it, and I was glad to put. I mean, you know, wish we hadn't had to, but you got to do it.
But
you know,
but you shouldn't. We shouldn't be facing these property tax increases. We should not. Period.
Right.
I personally believe property taxes are one of the more immoral taxes there are to begin with.
Sure.
They've always existed to maintain services, and now they're being used to provide new services, and that makes it that adds to that level of immorality around that form of taxation. It really does.
You mentioned talking about maybe charging so much per square foot on an impact fee basis, if that's what it comes to.
It's up to the locals. I think they need to have that ability. It can be determined amongst the county commission, who you know has to provide these services that are mandated. Can be determined by them, and that's how the process should work. If they do something outrageous, they should get we have election time.
And they
won't. Yep. I don't believe they will. And I know a lot of that. We have a lot of really good folks who want to tackle these issues that we're facing. And the decisions, and I don't fault anybody for the decisions that were made 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago.
Sure.
Completely
understood.
Different time, new challenges, new different problems, different challenges. But the decisions that we make right now are dang near the final decisions. We're getting close to final decision time.
Sure.
when we're talking
right.
about planning and zoning and the cost associated with it. And we got to be mindful. I'm not as much on the state level, but I'm a planning and zoning nerd. I could sit here and talk about it for hours.
Right.
But we really are in a place right now where we have to start having those conversations about how to protect what we have left in our community. These rural communities are special. They really, really
they
are.
They really are. They
really are.
Are.
And I think that storm
wonderful
last month
people.
Proved that even
wonderful
more so.
Wonderful people. Yeah.
Just wonderful folks, and it's a different way of life and a special way of life. And those decisions that are made right now, we're getting close to the final decision time.
I think I had one of my guests, and I forget who it was, said, you know, we've just kicked the can down the road so long that it's become a barrel, and it hurts to kick it now. You know, and you can't just keep kicking the can down the road. And I think that's what happened with this 15-16% increase. You know, every politician, you know, there'll be no tax increase in this administration. Okay, the bully for you. Great. You know, that's great. But if you will explain to people why you need this and why you've got to have a half a cent here, 1% here, a quarter percent here, just if you'll explain to them why, most people will, okay, I don't like it, but we got to do it. You know. It's that simple. I mean, it's like I said, when we built our house, there was a fee there. I've got to pay it. It's that simple.
And they did that last time. Folks
sure.
know the cause of that. They know the cause of that, and it's inaction from the state to allow the
sure.
county.
Yep.
And nobody's saying it's a silver bullet. We haven't talked about it, and I'll come back on and we'll do it. But no one's saying that this is the only revenue source that has to be looked at to pay for the cost
true.
Of growth. Nobody's saying that. Nobody
true.
Wants that to be the case.
Right.
But this has to be a start. This has to be a start. And you can't pay lip service to it. You, something has to get done. There's been a lot of personalities and egos, I think, on all sides of it that have prevented something from getting done.
Yeah.
And we gotta do it fresh. We gotta do it fresh. And I think we can get something over the finish line that really provides that relief. I do.
Tucker, I appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much.
Of course.
I appreciate you, and I want to have you back, okay? And win, lose, or draw, you know, you hang in there.
I appreciate
it. And I appreciate you putting your name on a ballot. I appreciate anyone that does it. I've never done it and probably now never will. But, you know, when you come up to the radio station, I'll stop and get a glass of tea or whatever, and the little girl at the window says, "Have a good show, Mr. Reimer." I said, "Well, thank you very much." She said, "Try not to make anybody mad."
can't promise.
Tucker Markham, remember him. If you're in his area, look him up, because I'm sure he's going to be looking you up in the next 53 days. Okay. Ed Reimer, glad to be with you. Jackson, thanks for your help on the board. And I'll tell you what, till next Sunday night, I'll catch you down the road. Good night.